Romans 13.
Please hurry and stop stirring.
At least you don't have the trucks to contend with this one.
Yeah.
What happened to those trucks?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And again, herein it's to the evil one. When it's ever it's got the in front of it, and a lot of times it isn't. It doesn't show the in the English and King James, but in this case it does. But it's whenever it has the article before evil, it's the evil one. So, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Now the fundamental question that just permeates this. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil one. Our minds will always come up with something that either we individually or the society or the culture in which we're in defines as good. Good works. But the only good work from God's perspective is to believe on Him who He has sent. So it's important, it's imperative here that you see that this really is that for rulers are not a terror to good works. Try to think of exceptions to that. There are none. There is never a place, never a time in which believing on Him who He has sent, which is the only good work, would be affected and be troubling to you as it was to me in this whole deal. Now, you can always have everybody, if you pay attention to what your mind says, you'll always have a cause, a good work. But if the powers that be are in antithesis of what you think is a good work, then what's your response? You're in subjection to the powers that be. Now this is really weird. Does anybody else see this? How weird that is?
It's something you don't want to do.
This is, I can't think of a more effective instrument of destroying idolatry. Because by definition, idolatry is always something that you think is good or whether it wouldn't be an idol. Well, we'll see. I hope you see this. Whosoever resisteth the power, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. As I said yesterday, the damnation isn't like eternal damnation, it's judgment. But let's go to Titus chapter 3.
Just in thinking what you just said, this is interested in things of spirit. And things of spirit are attacking flesh. Flesh always thinks in terms of what's good for the physical realm, but the spirit's not interested in that.
Right. It's the only thing that that's going on from God's perspective is having his people on the mercy seat. What will draw you off the mercy seat quicker than anything, even quicker than drug abuse, is something that you define for yourself as good. And then you'll go through the Bible and create half scriptures to justify your good works. That's why you can never have an investment in whatever it is that's within time and space. And you really understand what that means, investment? You have no, it's not your business what the outcome is. You have no investment in it. Is there something going on here? Everybody looks like they're waking up from a stupor or something.
Well, actually, that chapter that you just quoted, that we just read, Romans, isn't that the basis for the divine right of kings, which really led to a lot of abuses?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a basis for a jillion things, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters from God is whether or not, again, remember, the only thing that this Bible is about is two different environments, either eternity or time and space. Since our minds, as much as we can calculate, know nothing about eternity, then we will always define for ourselves what is good and bad, because we've eaten of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that is always the propensity. We will always try to have a cause, a purpose. We're trying to do something good. We're trying to redeem our own self. It's this whole thing that, since Harry's not here, I'll pick on him. Harry's, for all these years, no matter how hard the preaching, at his core, the program was that he had to do, he had to perform in order to have acceptance. To be accepted, he had to do things in a certain way, and because of that, then he was always thinking of ways that he could be the hero, that he could, you know, that he could save Trinity or save this. It doesn't matter what it is. There is no good work in time and space except to believe on him who he has sent. We can go through a jillion that means blah, 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 blah. And you can have this endless discussion about whether or not something is justified in time and space. The only thing that's justified in time and space is to see whether or not there is anything there that you have such an investment in that will pull you off the mercy seat. Let's go to Titus. I think I'm talking to the ceiling again.
I think this whole thing in view of the political climate, that's what it addresses a lot of.
Well, it addresses it. It addresses it totally.
Because that it is a big deal in a way. I don't know. You don't want to get caught up in it, but these times and this war and everything, to some people, it's a very serious deal.
No question. To all people, in a way, it's a serious thing.
Yeah, how do we start talking about it?
All the world is always wandering after the beast.
It's like a two-headed beast, because half the people wander one way and half wander the other.
It doesn't matter. Whatever they're giving importance to their opinions.
Right.
And therefore, all of these opinions that you have, if your candidate agrees with your opinions, then you'll vote for him. But that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Nothing.
I think the passion enters in. You know, it's like that. Everybody gets real passionate about their opinion and their candidates and their directions.
Not just that gives you the passion only in this case, in these kinds of issues, only show you the depth of your idolatry.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with true zeal or passion.
Yeah, but I think passion and zeal get mixed up as to what, which is which.
Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared or been revealed to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious revelation or appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And here again, we got this good works. Now, what are the good works? The only thing that the good work, is Jesus clearly said it, believe on him who he has sent. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready in every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Now, when we look at these words, let's go back up to verse 12. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Okay, what do our minds do with it? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Well, we think, ungodliness, that's whoremongering or getting drunk or drugs or whatever. Or voting for a Democrat if you're a Republican, or voting for a Republican if you're a Democrat. All that, everything.
Or whoremongering while you're voting for
a Democrat. Right. Which may be the same thing. Teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Worldly lust doesn't have anything to do with sex. It has to do with, at any given moment in time, you desire the situation you're in to be different than it is. What? Do you think this is just my interpretation? Except you be converted and become as this little child, this darling infant, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. That darling infant is before he. I mean, it's. Anyway, it's returning to the state where the awareness is the awareness that Adam and Eve had in the garden. It's God is all and in all. How can you do that? Well, the only way you can do that is to see the futility of everything else. You could invent the greatest form of government that ever existed, which many people believe that the democracy is, but it's still worldly lusts. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Nothing. Now, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Godly, remember that word godly. It's sebia, and it means right thinking. It means seeing in this mystery of the miasma of time and space, it's seeing the perfection of His holiness wherever you look.
But this is a little abstract, but I'm struck by the phenomena of us meeting every day, year after year, and we're only talking about the exact same thing every time. Somehow it's a little different direction or spin or twist or whatever. But all we're doing is uncovering the same pearl of great price that is covered by so many things.
Cut through the deception.
Throw up.
All right. Let's go back to Romans. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. Who? The ruler, this. Whatever it is. You can define, and minister simply means, it's an interesting word. Wait a minute. I forgot what it was. Oh. For he is the minister of God. He is the servant of God. Servant is what the word is. He is the servant from the source of God to accomplish that which God intends to accomplish. You cannot put your ideas of what you would do if you were God on the world. You have great opinions, but they're bullshit. You have great ideas, but they're meaningless. Nobody cares what your ideas are. Nobody cares what your opinions are except you. They have nothing to do with eternity. They are the instrument by which this moment of faith is tested. In every one of your great opinions and your great ideas have, first of all, they are unique to you. Well, you may have other, you may get a couple of allies, but they're unique to you, and their purpose is, as your mind's purpose always is to take you away from unity, of oneness. To take you away from the first source. I'm so sick of philosophies. For he is the servant of God, servant from the source of God for good. Name the most extreme case that you can imagine. That you think is not good. If you cannot resolve in your mind that there is no power on earth, there's no authority on earth that doesn't come from God, then you're in a state of rebellion. And you may have all kinds of great reasons for your rebellion.
Yeah, I think a worst case scenario would be like Jeremiah faced.
Is that your problem?
Where he's,
what's going on?
There's a guy out there wondering.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar was coming, you know, and Israel had, you know, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And God told Jeremiah and Isaiah and all these people to say, open the gates and let him in, because you know, he's my minister, basically,
amen,
to do something. And nobody liked that. And they put him down in the you know, the pit. Until they're hoping he would change his message. But, you know, that was pretty bad for my point.
Well, and that this verse, chapter 4, it says that. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now here we, if you don't believe this, then you have to come to the place that you really don't believe in the cross. You have to come to the place that you worship cause and effect and good and evil more than you do God. That's all there is. There's no in between. He beareth the sword. The sword, it's the implication of the death penalty. That's what that means. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God's what is God's. But if Caesar demands what is God's, you don't resist. You go quietly into Caesar's prison. Takes all this heroic crap, takes all the causes and throws them into the dung heap where they belong.
This is why our study of those guys, you know, and the Russians and all those people back, whenever it was, back in the late 70s, and, you know, that was so weird, you know, because... these guys were just, you know, it was like, well, yeah, I got sent to prison for 10 years, and then I came back, and then I did and said the same things I did before, and then they sent me to prison for another 5 years, you know, and it was like, that was their life. They assumed they would be gone into prison because they were Christian. It was just mind-blowing. And then in the end, it was like that whole system evaporated into nothingness, you know, which is just crazy too. You don't know what's going on. You know God's in control.
My favorite thing was when, I think Bloom wrote about it, maybe you did too, but when Georgie Vince went to some big conventions, was it the...
Maybe he went to the Southern Baptist Convention.
Maybe, I think he also went to like the National Religious Broadcasters or something anyway.
That would have been...
He thought he couldn't even recognize it as a fellow believer. I mean, it was like something out of a comic book to him. George Evans was one of the pastors that we were talking about that was in Russia. He got put in prison all the time, and he got released, which was a good thing. Because it had been in a trade for a spy. I think President Carter got him released, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we thought we were doing him a great favor because we were getting him, this poor persecuted guy, released. And he came over as to show us what, I mean, we were going to be the good guys and do this and that. He just... If you heard his words, he slayed us. This isn't a Christianity that's going to have many followers. But boy, give somebody a cause and then they'll all follow.
It doesn't cost them anything.
All right. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You're subject not only for wrath, that means you're just because
you might get whacked.
You might get hit upside the head or whacked. But for conscience sake. Now conscience, this isn't the word that like let your conscience be your guide. It's a word that's synaesthesis, and it means your consciousness of anything. So what could it mean? It's not only for wrath, but also for your consciousness of things. What does that mean?
Help you see reality.
To help you see, yes. To see what is I'm gonna go on a little bitty rant here.
Yeah, right.
Everybody thinks they're a truth seeker. And the great model for us as a truth seeker was Abraham. In fact, he's considered the father of faith. And Abraham, all he did constantly he searched for something that didn't change with time. And finally, at the end of throwing out everything else that changed with time, that's when he had the revelation of Christ. Abraham saw my day and was glad. Now, if anything that you're talking about or any thought process that you have changes if you were in a different environment or changes with the passage of time, then it can't be truth. And if it's not truth, then it has no place in what it is, what you're about. Everything is corruptible. Corruptible, it means it denigrates. It is. So we must put off the corruptible and put on incorruption. Incorruption is truth. The only thing that doesn't change with time is Jesus Christ. That's why he is the way, the truth, and the life.
And it's like the only thing that they say is the same yesterday, today, and forever is
him.
They don't talk about any other thing that's the same.
No, they take something that maybe Christ did and said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so therefore...
Yeah.
But I'm appealing to you on the basis of this divine impulse within you that only and always has been searching for something that was true. Think of all the things that you've discarded. Well, don't hang on to anything else. Don't hang on to some opinion or some idea or some stand that you have. Is that communicate? Because that's what the cross did. The cross killed all that. It's supposed to kill it all. So that you are buried in baptism. So that you can live in newness of life. So that the condition that you're in is, or what's going on is not, it never can take you, it never can affect your peace. All right, that's enough for today. But I would urge you to meditate on this. Because I don't know that you can come up with any other conclusion other than what he's saying here. No matter how much it troubles, it's troubling to you. Especially in a political season. I mean, my God. Amen?
Yeah. You've got my vote.
All right, take a big guy. This other.